April 7th, 1989 meeting of the full House Judiciary Committee will come to order. Our agenda today includes House Bill 2275, House Bill 3099, House Bill 2353, House Bill 2469, Senate Bill 51, House Bill 3450, House Bill 3138 was on the agenda, that's going to be withdrawn, House Bill 2364, House Bill 3194, House Bill 2461, House Bill 2588, House Bill 3395, House Bill 3396, and House Bill 2277. In addition, today we have scheduled at this two subcommittees. One of the subcommittees is the Crime and Corrections Subcommittee, which will meet very, very, very briefly after this full committee. For a quick approval of a Senate bill that we have already basically passed. Notwithstanding that, on House Bill 2461, I have the Family Justice Subcommittee also simultaneously scheduled at this moment. Now, Representative Courtney, Ms. Robinson, do I need to recess full and turn the gavel over to Representative Courtney for a moment for an amendment? Is that what
the... No, for the subcommittee to repass 2461 and send it back to the full committee.
Okay. So I'm going to adjourn full committee for 2 minutes. And now we are... it is now Representative Courtney's Family Justice Subcommittee.
Move House Bill 2461. The full committee do pass as amended.
Representative Courtney, you're chairing this. I don't look at me.
This is the bill that we had a little
misunderstanding, ma'am, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, a little discussion last Friday was rather, and I said, "Give me the bill back." You remember the bill on workers' comp in terms of being able to use for child support a certain percentage and things like that? Is it coming back to you?
Yes, it is. Well, unfortunately, I...
Since that time, I believe...
I'm not even on the subcommittee, Representative Courtney. Well, I'll just have a coffee.
Yeah, but I want you to hear it, but it gets the full committee in a few seconds. So I simply understand the bill is... Most people now feel the bill should remain as the subcommittee felt it should be remain and send it back to the full committee as we had done last Friday, Mr. Chair. And so that's what I'm doing. That's why I made the motion, and I'd like to ask now for the subcommittee of Family Justice to vote on that motion.
Call for the question.
Motion for what?
To send it to the full committee, do pass.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Flory.
Do we have to reconsider it or anything like that?
Learned to council? Oh, yeah. I don't believe because it all came back, and we're
it
just.
Did come back.
Yeah, we sent it back. We just need to re-vote it out.
I already voted yes on this once, right?
Right. Yes, I moved it.
You didn't move it. Okay.
Wait. Could the clerk please call the roll of Family Justice Subcommittee?
Aye.
Flory.
Aye.
Clark.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Miller. Aye.
Chair Courtney.
Yes. I adjourn the committee of the Family Justice Subcommittee. And
can you make sure that Miller showed an excuse?
Yes, is he coming at all?
Okay, the full Judiciary Committee is now back in session. For our audience who is not familiar with this, we won't go into why we do it that way, but we are in love with form here. Why don't we start with a jump to the very end of the agenda? I have a very, very urgent request to take one bill out of sequence, and if the committee will indulge me, I'd like to go into House Bill 2277 to start with. Mr. Taylor, in lieu of Representative Bauman. Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill is amended, and we're looking at the -3 amendments which are before you. The measure would permit stenographic transcription only if one party gives the circuit court reasonable notice. The requesting party would pay for the transcription. Thus, the courts should not incur any expense. Exempted from this bill will be the 9th and 10th Judicial District, which is Kearney and Melyer and Union and Wallala counties, respectively. There is no fiscal impact. You will see a statement before you showing fiscal impact, but the bill as amended has no fiscal impact.
Okay, Bauman, anything on that? 2277?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Baumann moves House Bill 2277 to the floor. Do pass as amended. Any further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll. On 2277.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Baumann?
Yes.
Brockman?
Aye.
Flory?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Unit?
Yes.
Chair Mason?
Hi, Representative Baumann, what's your pleasure on carrying that?
Is there a volunteer from the subcommittee to carry the bill?
No.
2277.
Okay. Doug Calhoun, thank you.
I'll speak against
it.
He just voted yes just to get to carry the bill.
Okay. House Bill 2277 relating to leases, Representative Baumann, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is that
2275? Thank you.
Thank you.
The measure would create one statutory body of law relating to personal property leases within the Uniform Commercial Code. Currently, the law is divided between law relating to personal property and the law relating to real property. The measure comes to us from the Oregon State Bar. It is similar to provisions that are being adopted in other states. It's a uniform type of act, and we have before us the Dash 2 amendments. It's a bill that was worked on considerably by Representative Mannix and Representative Clark with
Chair, we are 2275.
Yes.
Yes, you are. It's the huge one.
I should run out.
Yeah. Representative Baumann moves House Bill 2275 to the floor. Do pass as amended. Any further discussion? Representative Mannix, any comment on this? You worked on the bill.
My only comment is it's been thoroughly worked over by the representatives of various organizations along with Representative Clark and myself. And I invite any committee member who would like to read the bill to feel free to do so. I mean, read it in detail. I'm sure everyone's had a chance to look over the bill. And it's a good bill.
Okay. Take your word for it, Representative Mannix.
It is not bedtime reading.
UCC.
The Valley of the UCC or something like that. Any further discussion? 2277 from 2275. If not, clerk, call roll.
7 minutes.
Aye.
Edmondson.
Aye.
Courtney.
Yes.
Clark.
Aye.
Flory.
Yes.
Nice job, Pip.
Aye.
Brian.
Aye.
Baumann.
Aye.
Baum.
Yes.
Chair Mason.
Aye.
Representative Clark will carry the bill.
Representative Clark. House Bill 3099. Mr. Robinson.
Members of the committee, House Bill 3099 is a relatively simple bill. Currently within the Oregon Criminal Code, as an element of three sexual offenses is the element of a female being unable to consent by reason of mental defect, incapacitation, or physical helplessness. Those three crimes are currently Class B felonies. What this bill does is take that element of incapacity to consent and move it into a Class A felony category, basically that element into rape one, sodomy one, and sexual penetration one, so that if a female is unable to consent, you are dealing with Class A felonies rather than Class B felonies. The bill was amended. Originally, physical helplessness was removed at the request of the sponsor and then replaced at his request as well.
Further discussion of 3099? Not, clerk will call the roll.
Baum.
Yes.
Baumann.
Yes.
Brian.
Aye.
Calhoun.
Aye.
Flory.
Aye.
Clark.
Aye.
Courtney.
Yes.
Edmondson.
Yes.
At the end of the meeting.
Yes.
Yes.
Mannix.
Aye. Minutes.
Aye.
Chair Mason.
Aye. Representative Courtney, that come out of your sub? Who's something?
That's correct. Representative Bunn is going to be carrying it.
Representative Bunn will carry
it. Bill.
Okay.
2353. Zucker, could you summarize this bill for us?
Certainly, Mr. Chair, committee members. House Bill 2353 was voted out of the Crime and Corrections Subcommittee on a 6-0 vote. The Dash 1 Legislative Council amendments first amend ORS 167.012, which is the promoting prostitution statute, by deleting subsection B, but subsection B is just sort of transferred to the pimping statute that we're creating. It's inserted into Section 1, subsection 1B of the pimping statute. The language in the original bill was amended to include situations in which a person uses force, deception, coercion, or intimidation to compel or deceive another to engage in prostitution, because pimps often use these methods. Finally, the bill clarifies that when a person requests the earnings of an undercover police officer or other person posing as a person, then this will constitute pimping. There is one technical amendment I noticed. Legislative Council didn't add the words "or demands" to line 10 of the original bill after requests. So.
Any objection to that technical amendment? I remember those that should have been in there. Okay, hearing them. Further discussion of 2353. If not, clerk call roll.
Representative Minnis.
Aye.
Maddox.
Aye.
Evanson.
Aye.
Courtney.
Yes.
Clark.
Aye.
Clory.
Yes.
Calhoun.
Aye.
Brian.
Aye.
Almond.
Aye.
Bomb.
Yes.
Chair
Mason. Aye. 2469.
Chair, are you going to carry that bill?
Yes, I'll carry the bill. 2469.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 2469 with the dash 3 legislative council amendments establishes procedures for use of mobile tracking devices, creates a statute authorizing interception of electronic communications, conforms Oregon law to federal law by allowing interception of cordless telephone communications without a court order, and the bill also allows use of pen registers and trap and tracers. The use of most of these devices is authorized by federal law if the state law has a statute authorizing such use, and this bill provides that authorization. There were a few amendments. Section 3 was deleted, although we want legislative history to reflect a desire to adhere to the rule established through case law. Section 6 clarified the definition of electronic communication and deleted the adjective oral to clarify that certain communications obtained by listening or recording may not be orally obtained. These communications are still to be included under intercept. Section 14, subsection 8 allows, without a court order, the interception of amateur, CB, and mobile radio transmissions. Use of scanners by private parties to intercept unscrambled radio transmissions of law enforcement is permitted, but only if the purpose of the interception is not for any illegal activity. This came out of the subcommittee on a 6-0 vote.
2469. Any further discussion? 2469, Representative Mayor?
I move the bill as amended.
Okay, Mayor, it was 2469. Floor do pass as amended. Any further discussion? If not, clerk, call the roll.
Representative Baum.
Yes.
Dahlman.
Aye.
Brian.
Aye.
Calhoun.
Aye.
Clory.
Aye.
Clark.
Aye.
Courtney.
Yes.
Yes.
Manic.
Aye.
Minnis.
Aye.
Chair Mason.
Aye. Volunteers.
I think Representative is looking for that.
It's Representative Manning.
I'm happy to hear this bill, Mr. Chairman.
You want to hear
that? Yeah.
Oh, Representative Callan. Representative Callan.
All right.
Senate Bill 51.
Mr. Chair, committee members.
Pardon me, just a moment, Ms. Zucker. Are we all right on this? Did you talk that over? I just want to give our audience and other people a kind of a little appetite. We're going to have a major announcement toward the end of the day here on a topic dear to this committee's heart. So if anybody's listening,
thump,
even dearer than that.
Representative Courtney's going to run for governor?
Even better.
He's going to be chairman.
Is there someone with a robe waiting out in the hall?
No. We're just going to, Representative Baum and Representative Brian, Representative Courtney, have been in negotiations with another party, and we're going to have a major announcement to make toward the end of the day. So I just want anybody who's listening.
You're getting married.
Yeah, they're all going to get married. I told some people in the press that nothing was going to happen on this topic today, so I'm hoping that they're listening that they're reading between the lines and will up here in time.
It's about the party tonight, Mr. Chair.
Even more,
please.
Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 51 would allow the chair of the Board of Parole to appoint a board hearings officer to sit on a panel with a board member as a substitute for the second parole board member. There used to be two that would have to sit. This would enable this second board member to serve on a different panel or to perform administrative tasks. There was no opposition, and this was no amendments, and the subcommittee voted this out 6-0.
Further discussion of a
Of 51.
Discussion, clerk, call roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Edmondson.
Aye.
Courtney.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Brian.
Aye.
Bauman.
Aye.
Long.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Senate Bill, House Bill 3450, relating to law school of the University of Oregon.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this simply changes the name of University of Oregon's law school to the Wayne Morse School of Law, voted out of subcommittee on a 6-1 vote.
Further discussion? 3450.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Who voted no?
I did. Didn't like Wayne Morse?
Oh.
No. Now that you've brought that up, I guess I need to explain.
Well, you don't have to.
I feel compelled to now that I've been picked on. very simple. I don't believe this is the right process. There is a process for doing these things. We've chosen to say, well, that's fine, but we're going to run over that process, and I just don't agree with that. And I think that if somebody did that to us, we would not think that was a particularly wonderful idea, and I will continue to follow procedures, and I'm not going to make exception in this case either.
Well, if I might, the proponents of this bill, nobody can do that to us because we're the legislature and they're the law school. And the last time I looked, that was still the case. The process was followed. The bill was published. The notice was put forth. We said, thank you. Thank you very much. And we made our decision. That we might have bruised a professional ego here or there, but as a professional, I think our egos need bruising frequently.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Mattis.
One comment in support of Representative Calori's concerns, although I'm going to vote for this bill. The reason why there are administrative proceedings set up to usually handle these sorts of things is that otherwise we would add another 500 to 1,000 bills every session for every legislator wanting to name the local institution. On the other hand, I'm going to support the bill because, one, we're dealing with a major institution, and two, we are dealing with a major public figure in the state of Oregon, and I can see making an exception because of the extraordinary nature of those extraordinary factors. I don't want this to be an invitation to people to generally decide that they're going to name institutions by filing bills, because I'll start voting against them.
And for all of you members that might have ideas, remember you've got to die first. So. That you have to pay for.
They only, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think we only have that informal rule so that everybody doesn't introduce bills to have places named about themselves. Otherwise,
yes. Actually, there was. Yeah. Clerk, call the roll, please.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Bauman.
Aye.
Brian.
Aye.
Calhoun.
Aye.
Calori.
No.
Clark.
Aye.
Courtney.
Yes.
Edmondson.
Yes.
Mannix.
Aye.
Minnis.
Aye.
Chair Mason.
Aye. Representative Dix will carry that. The law school, the law school Valentine, Representative Dix. Representative Dix, why don't you come out, have a seat with us? Bye. You're here in just in time. House Bill 2364. Ms. Zucker, 2364.
Committee members, House Bill 2364 with the -2 Legislative Council amendments provides that when a person tampers with another person's property, intentionally subjects another person to offensive physical contact, or subjects another person to alarm because of either the perceived race, color, religion, or national origin of the victim or victim's family, or because of prejudice or hatred as to the perceived status, condition, opinions, or beliefs of the victim or the victim's family, that person commits the crime of intimidation. The committee vote was 5-3 on this.
This is the intimidation bill. Any further discussion of this?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark.
It's my understanding, after having done some thought about it and looked at it, that it's my guess that the bill as amended does not have the votes to come out of full. And with due respect to Representative Mannix, who's put a great deal of work in amending the bill, I want to remind the committee and members of the audience that originally this was a very simple bill, as brought to us by the district attorney of Multnomah County, who simply said that he needed some help and protection in protecting certain citizens from unreasonable harassment and intimidation. And he simply asked for the addition of the word sexual orientation to existing ORS 166.155. I was an early and solid supporter of that bill. I have not historically been known as being out in front in so-called gay rights movement, and I am not now. I don't see this as a gay rights issue. I see this as an issue of human decency. And I think I know as much about Oregon constitutional law as perhaps any member on the committee, and I defy anybody to show me how reinserting the original language that Mr. Schrunk asked us for would somehow open the door to gay rights litigation down the road. It won't happen. That's not the issue we're faced with. The issue we're faced with is whether people can walk up and down the streets of the cities of this state without being intimidated or harassed. My guess is that Representative Mannix's amendments will not come out, and so we won't have a chance to have either those or the original language put before the floor, in large part because there are members of the House, not members of this committee, who are so scared to vote on this issue that it's not going to ever get there. And I think that is a shame.
Mr. Chairman?
And I will be voting no on Representative Mannix's amendments because I think that they're unworkable. But my only regret is that we won't have a chance to have this debate on the floor.
Representative Mannix.
I would like to point out to members of the committee that all of the conduct listed in this bill is already a crime in the state of Oregon. It is covered by ORS 164.345, criminal mischief, 166.065, harassment. There's a statute in regard to conspiracy. There's a statute in regard to menacing. And I seem to recall assault is another statute that covers this. Every single one of these descriptions of activity is covered by the Oregon Criminal Code right now. It's a crime. The one thing that District Attorney Schrunk asked us to do was to make it a worse crime because of the victim's sexual orientation. There had been another law called the intimidation law that made it a worse crime because of the race, creed, national origin of the victim. In order to accommodate those who felt that there should be a worse crime for people who were concerned about being victimized because of their sexual orientation, some of us worked very hard on this bill to try to come up with a description that would cover that, but also a number of other concerns that we have about people that are victimized because of their status in society. And I grant you that there's a philosophical difference here as to whether or not we should have chosen one select group or whether or not we should direct this across the board. And the committee will have to decide whether or not they think it is adequate for us to say that perceived, I'll call it prejudice as to the perceived status of the victim, is something that we should endeavor to do. But when we're dealing with this, please remember that we're not saying that it's not criminal to do these things to people because of their sexual orientation. It already is criminal. And the question was whether or not we were going to have a higher level of crime because of the prejudice factor. We may be making new law in terms of some constitutional challenge to this kind of bill, but remember that maybe 20 years ago, there were questions as to whether or not you could select groups on the basis of race, for instance, and say that we're going to have enhanced sanctions. And it was only because people were willing to say, yes, we are willing to put this in a law and test it, that the Supreme Court finally was able to say, all right, we'll allow you to recognize race, color, religion, or national origin. They may well someday say, if someone puts forth a bill like this and it gets into law, that a bill that says that you should not have prejudice or hatred as to the perceived status, condition, opinions, or belief of the victim is appropriate under constitutional doctrine. I can't tell you today whether or not they will. But I want it clearly understood that the motivation here was a positive motivation to try to make this bill apply to all sections of society to protect a large number of people by saying that we just plain don't tolerate any kind of prejudice or hatred which motivates this kind of conduct. Now, again, I also don't want people to perceive a vote against this bill as a vote in favor of this kind of conduct. Everybody should realize, and I know the members of this committee realize, that this kind of conduct itself is illegal. It's a question as to whether or not we're going to apply an additional sanction, a higher sanction, on the basis of the prejudice or hatred factor. Thank you.
Discussion of House Bill 2364. Representative Edmondson.
Maybe this should be a question to Representative Mannix, but what is a perceived prejudice or hatred, perceived status? Seems awfully loose, and how do you...
There's a reason for that.
How do you go about defining that in a criminal...
That is actually to make it easier. It talks about the perception. That's talking about perception by the offender, so that an offender can't get off by saying, oh, gee, I thought that it was something else, and it turns out that the status was not the status that was thought to be. For instance, in fact, those who were proponents of the sexual orientation language adopted the language perceived sexual orientation, because people are often perceiving someone else wrongly and acting on their wrong perceptions. And we didn't want them to get off because they happen to have been wrong in their prejudice. Oh, I thought, to be blunt about it, I thought that this person was gay, but it turns out this person wasn't gay, therefore the enhanced penalty doesn't apply. No, we don't want them to have that excuse.
Representative Baum, I think you wanted to...
I just want to echo some of Representative Evans. I think lines 10 and 11, as well as 16 and 17, contain language that can be used to apply broadly to people. Unfindable. I mean, if you're from Salem and you like somebody because they're from Portland and they're competing high schools, you're going to qualify under this for this enhancement because of that person's status or condition. I would like to think, and I don't have to the statute, you're going to have trouble constitutionally. Dependent of what kind of crime you might be charged with. So I'm going to oppose this bill on that basis.
Chair. Discussion of House Bill 2364, Representative Clark.
To conclude by saying that some members of this committee who were philosophically and fundamentally opposed to this bill from the very beginning have worked very hard to find alternative languages, alternative ways, and my frustration is not with members of this committee. My frustration is with people outside of this committee who are simply afraid to vote on the issue, afraid to put their principles on the line, on the floor. That's where my frustration is directed.
Representative Bauman?
No, that's okay, Mr. Chair. I'll just vote on the bill.
The chair move House Bill 2364, the full committee do pass as amended. If that motion has not already been made, which I believe it has been made. If there is no further discussion, the clerk will call on
motions to the floor,
motion
Mr. Chairman.
To the floor, Mr. Chair.
Pardon, to the floor as amended. There's no further discussion.
Oh, Mr. Chair, let me say briefly that I supported House Bill 2364 as it was brought to the committee by the Multnomah County District Attorney. We have heard testimony from the District Attorney on numerous instances in this committee when he or one of his deputies have given us testimony about occurrences or about the impact of laws that we currently have and difficulty of their enforcement. We believe it. It's the best source of information that we have. It has always been a reliable source of information as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the action of the committee is concerned, I think we've been consistent until we got to this point. I don't know if the changes are based on a belief that this is really not occurring. There are documented acts of violence against a group of people based upon their sexual orientation. I'm disappointed that we cannot address what was brought to us originally, and I will vote no today.
Further discussion before we call the roll. If not, clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator Baum?
No.
Bauman?
No.
Bryan?
Aye.
Calhoun?
No.
No.
Horton?
Yes.
Edmondson?
No.
Manick?
Aye.
Ninnis?
No.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
It'll fail.
House Bill 3194 relating to evidence.
Mr. Chairman, the committee has been 30.
Those representations have been made to me. Yeah. That's when we buy them on board.
And what the Senate is always another question, but I think it's got a good shot in the Senate, and it's going to work a lot better this way than not. So I keep getting these notes, these capricious notes. Where did this one come from? Glad. Are there any further comments from other members here? Representative Calhoun, Representative Clark, Representative.
I appreciate your willingness to continue to work on the problem. I know that the way this all happened kind of surprised everybody, and I appreciate you and the other folks continuing to work in good faith on it, because I made a fairly strong statement a couple of weeks ago, and I appreciate your willingness to work on
Chair?
It.
Chair?
Representative Callan.
Well, when I was a little boy, you know, I always wanted to grow up and run away to the circus, and I just didn't realize when I ran for the state legislature how close I'd come to that aspiration. Glad to be here.
Well, when we had our meeting this afternoon, we didn't intend to make that quite those many decisions, but when the governor introduced himself into it, it kind of moved things along. So if there's nothing further, I'd like to turn this over. We were going to have a crime and corrections subcommittee, but we've used up so much time, I think we'll postpone that and turn it all the way over to Representative Courtney, unless there are any further questions and such. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Courtney, all yours.